Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Wayman Tisdale, Spud Webb, Joey Devine, Pete Chilcutt, Kurt Rambis, Sean Keen, Stan Kimbrough, Lionel Simmons, musical guest Sparkle Horse, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, your temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine, and I'm here with my permanent co-host, the permanent co-host, not mine. I mean, I live in a world where people don't own other people, unlike Billy Crystal in the classic movie My Giant, where he owns that giant. Sean Keen.
Messed up. It's messed up.
What's it like being a free man?
It's good. It's good. I was able to... I saw Billy Crystal from afar a couple weeks ago, and I was not his personal property. He was not able to tell me what to do. He was only able to tell me what not to do, which is buy a Kangol hat when I'm 70.
Did he ask you if you've seen The Condor?
The Condor.
Guess I gotta put that drop in right now.
Because I asked Mr. Balmer, he said, hey, listen, nobody's safe except The Condor. The Condor. Have you seen The Condor?
Hopefully
he loves
I
that
remember
Condor.
To save it. before we get to our episode, business. I'm bad at the business part of this, Sean, which is why I'm only temporary host. Follow us on Twitter at Round Rock Pod. Email us at roundrockpod@gmail.com. And please rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. I don't know why ratings are important, but every other podcast I've ever listened to says they're really important.
In almost a desperate way, too.
Yeah, it's like, please give us a 5-star review. It's so
important.
Rate
us, baby.
A man has a gun to my head, and if I don't get a 5-star review, he's going to pull the damn trigger.
We're just going to ask normally.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be cool if you got some time.
I'm going to ask normally. Ready? Please, if you have the time, rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Is that good enough?
Just do a click. Come on. Just give us a review.
Give us a review.
Thanks to everybody who's already given reviews.
Yeah, we do remember there's some unfinished business we have, Sean.
It does involve Billy Crystal.
It does, and it is not seeing the condor. Have you seen the condor? No, we are going to record a commentary to the film My Giant, which is, again, about white slavery. We've texted Dave Schilling about it, and we will be doing it soon.
Yes. Also, happy birthday to Dave Schilling's son.
Yeah, that's weird.
Well, he was born during Game 7 of the World Series last year.
Don't blow up Dave Schilling's baby spot, dude.
Sorry.
It's not your kid's. It's not your kid, dude.
Shouts to the baby, though.
Yeah.
Shouts to fatherhood.
All right. Should we talk about news? I guess, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
There is one our piece of news I really don't want to talk about, though, Sean.
Well, we should just mention it.
It's so depressing.
I mean, in a way, it's inspiring if you're an orthopedic surgeon or, like, a bad person.
Yeah, or Jordan Peterson.
Hey, look, LeBron James came out in support of it.
Let's talk about the news.
Uh-huh.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
Derrick Rose went for 50 points last night.
Career high.
And everyone on the internet treated it like he was like super tight. And this is like a cool thing we should talk about. And how like Derrick Rose is back. And you know what else is back? His rape trial.
Well, it is like if you are one of those like stick to sports people who only things that are between the lines count, it is impressive that he came back from medical problems. However, knowing everything else you know about Derrick Rose.
Except here's the fucking thing about this. It's like 3 years ago on the Minnesota Timberwolves, Mo Williams scored 55 points and nobody gave a shit about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like fucking old, dude.
And he was,
and that was way tighter.
Seems like a good person, too.
Yeah. Like, I just don't want to talk about Derrick Rose anymore, ever again. Like, fuck Derrick Rose, dude. Fuck Lance Stevenson. Fuck Derrick Rose. Fuck Kobe Bryant. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Like, and I'm not like a super like wokeness over everything.
Kind of seems like you're virtue signaling here, Joey.
I am a huge white knight, baby.
Here's what I will say about all those people who are like, yeah, dude, there's a civil trial. Who's found not guilty? Which, not what happened, but also, do people really just think that court verdicts are the be all and end all? Like, were there people who were like, no, man, fucking OJ Simpson, not guilty verdict, dude. He's a good guy. We should be talking about those Heismans, man.
Yeah, but then when he got the guilty civil trial verdict, they were like, I don't know what to do, dude.
Yeah, like, if you know anything about America, it's that our criminal justice system is perfect. It's an unbiased arbiter of truth. And inspires more and more people every single day.
Yeah, I learned that from watching Making a Murderer.
Yeah, man. The only thing I would say about this is that letting Derrick Rose score 50 points in a game means that I don't want to hear any Rudy Gobert Defensive Player of the Year arguments. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
If Derrick Rose is scoring 50 on you, like, sorry. You couldn't stop that guy? Come on now.
LeBron tweeted, quote, he's still a superstar. Which, if that were true, what the fuck was happening on the Cavs last year, dude?
Yeah, when you kicked him, you exiled him to Utah. You sent him to the desert to die, LeBron.
Yeah, he had a secret wedding, remember?
You know, quite a week for LeBron James and rapists, I would say. An Instagram post about Kobe Bryant, and then the same day, like, D. Rose, still a superstar. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it happened on Halloween, because Halloween is a night where monsters can excel for one night.
Also, the last thing I want to say about this is media, lamestream media, being good at sports doesn't make you a good person. Stop that narrative.
I'm not sure what it is that Derrick Rose does that is very admirable. Even in like basketball terms, I understand that it was like personally very powerful for him, but I just don't know why anyone else needs to give a shit, basically.
I don't know, man. I just wish, look, I'm all for redemption and like second chances or whatever. But you got to show, like, some, I don't know, like...
contrition.
Exactly.
Remorse. You're volunteering, you're giving, like, charity work, something like that. Yeah.
I mean, I guess he had that secret wedding.
Yeah, he did have a secret wedding. Also, isn't it about time for Derrick Rose to mysteriously leave the Minnesota Timberwolves for days at a time without telling anyone?
Yeah. I'm sure that'll happen in 2 weeks once the civil appeal starts up again.
Yeah. But yeah, this is basically watching Derrick Rose score 50 points is like watching Louis C.K. do a set at the Comedy Cellar and being like, yeah, he didn't jerk off once during that set. He's back.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on.
All right.
Hopefully we don't have to talk about him playing good basketball ever again.
I mean, he's going to be their go-to guy once Jimmy Butler goes.
No, it'll be Marquise Chris, dude.
That's the trade. I still don't believe that trade's real. I just don't. I don't think that trade offer is real, but maybe. Marquise Chris finally made his season debut, so congratulations to the ride.
Yeah, the day the Suns didn't pick up Dragan Bender's option. So that was a great day for Marquise Chris.
Dragan Bender, his arch rival, we think, probably. Right?
I mean, they were drafted in the same draft, and they were both equally terrible.
Also, the Suns made a point of announcing they weren't picking up his option at least a day earlier than they needed to.
He had a really sad quote about it, too.
Yeah, where he was just like, well, I would have preferred the option be picked up. The ride, by the way, 2 for 5, 2 rebounds, 1 block, 1 turnover, -2. Pretty good Marquise Chris stat line. I can't tell if he committed a technical foul, fell down, or like made a 35-footer 3 seconds after a shot clock. Those would have been.
How many times did he try and dunk on somebody when it was like impossible for him to dunk?
It looks like only one from the box score, because he made 2 close-range shots. He missed, it's hard to tell from this shot chart, but he badly missed 2 3-pointers, which is very, very good. Oh, his 4th-year option was also declined in not really a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad because maybe Minnesota would have wanted to pick it up.
while we're talking about rookie player options...
Yeah.
This is the worst complaint I've ever done on this podcast, by the way. I just want to preface that real quick. But if anyone out there who listens to this show works for NBA 2K, In the franchise mode, could you please change when you pick up the options in the game? Thank you.
Yeah.
They happen at the wrong time and it fucks up off-season trades. Anyway. Oh.
Well, Marco Fultz and Ben Simmons and Dario Saric did get their options picked up.
Oh, thank God.
Congratulations to those guys. Also, congratulations to Lauri Markkanen, Chris Dunn, and Denzel Valentine. None of these were particular. Oh, other options.
That Denzel Valentine one's kind of surprising, right? He hasn't exactly been good.
Yeah, they just don't. They're not really saving. No, he has not been that good, but I think it's only his third year option, and so it's like, I don't think it's that much money, but also the Bulls aren't really like shopping this offseason, because they can, that Jabari Parker contract is so big that, anyway, I don't know. Who knows what the Bulls are doing? The surprises, I would say... Furkan Korkmaz.
Not that surprising.
The Turkish Marco Bellinelli. Timothy Walu Cabarro. Again, one reason you maybe shouldn't have trusted the process is that when you get a lot of first round picks, a lot of them just end up getting declined during their
season. Thunder should have picked up that option though. Like what money are they trying to save?
I don't really get that one either. Tyler Lydon also had his option.
Dude, that was the second year option too. That's crazy.
That's really like, that's very bizarre that they're already out on this guy. Once again, no offense to Trey Lyles, who fun, good NBA player, but they traded the Donovan Mitchell pick for Trey Lyles. And the pick that became Tyler Lydon, who will become an unrestricted free agent this July.
And the weird thing is you can't even really call them losers of that draft just because they also drafted Monte Morris 52nd.
Yeah.
That same draft, which is like, lucky. All right.
It's weird that Furkan Korkmaz had a $2 million option declined by the Sixers, I gotta say.
No, wouldn't that be right by where he was drafted? Wasn't he like 17 or something?
No. I'm just saying it feels like worth picking that one up. That's all.
I mean, I don't think he's good though. Right?
It's just, I guess seeing him at Summer League, he was like an 80 or a 10 every time I saw him. So, yeah, man. Also, other guys who got declined, non-Euro Henry Ellenson. That is just like
poor dude.
But also, that is when you're like Stan Van Gundy was gone, the new guy, Henry Ellenson had no chance because there's no reason a new GM is going to be like, oh, let's hold on to this guy's questionable trash.
Yeah.
It's like,
I admittedly, I'm biased on Henry Ellenson just because his entire family is always at Summer League and they're really nice. Just like giant white people.
I mean, he doesn't ever play, right?
No.
I'll tell this again, saw him at the draft, saw his name was Henry Ellenson, heard him talk, still thought that English was his second language.
No, he has like they seem Amish or something.
Yeah, like something, whatever like Dwight Schrute's family was on The Office. And poor Justin Patton, the prize of the Jimmy Butler deal. Also had his option declined, probably because he's broken his foot 7 times since he was drafted.
He's like somebody someone's going to take a shot on in like 4 years from now. It'll be like, wow, Justin Patton is a good rotation player, I think. Because...
Can't he shoot bad luck. Well?
I don't know. I don't know what he's good at, but it just seems like a super bummer that a guy that he just keeps breaking his foot.
Yeah. And Malachi Richardson also had his option declined, which is only a surprise because I thought the Kings would have somehow done it last year already. What a draft class in 2016.
Luckily, he gets to go back to the Dungeons & Dragons game he's from.
Yeah, that's true. Do you think Tyler Lydon and Henry Ellenson will get an apartment together in Sioux Falls when they're the front court for the Skyforce next year?
I bet Tyler Lydon goes and makes hella money in Europe.
Yeah.
He just seems like...
He kind of feels like... Also, he feels like a guy who has maybe never left the country before and would just, like, go to Greece once and be like, this is amazing! You heard of Grappa? I know it's... Anyway. The reason the Thunder got rid of TLC, though, is... though I would have taken a flyer on him, too, because of their repeater tax thing... His $2.5 million is going to cost them like $12.5 million, so that's what they're doing.
Yeah, but that's so classic cheap ownership, man.
Oh, I agree. It's just it was slightly less cheap than I thought, but it's still like I wouldn't like that if I were Paul George or Russell Westbrook.
Right, but yeah, you're not going to get like look. I'm not high on TLC, but like you know he could be. Fuck, what's his name? The guy who got his leg broken by the cops.
Thabo Sefolosha.
Yeah, like, he could for sure be Thabo Sefolosha.
I'd say, like, a lot of guys learn how to play basketball a lot better in their early 20s.
And you're not, but you're not going to be able to...
It has happened before.
Yeah, but what I mean is you're not going to be able to sign Thabo Sefolosha for $2 million.
Right, yeah, exactly. And, because then what you're doing... is you're getting on the veteran's minimum treadmill.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work out that well for them. I mean, all he has not shown a great deal in the NBA, but given what their wing situation is behind Paul George, that seems like a reasonable price to pay. Because yeah. They have to sign somebody, right? Like they're not really saving $12.5 million because they have to pay someone for that roster.
I mean,
spot.
You know who they're going to pay, right?
Is Hustis going to come back?
No, it's going to be more Raymond Felton.
Oh, come on back! Yum yum yum.
All it means.
He's just sticking his head, just putting that money feed bag on his mouth.
All right. Did we talk about Ty Lue getting fired? We did, right?
We did. I just realized how amazing it was that Tyronn Lue and Hugh Jackson were fired on consecutive days.
For those of you that don't know, Hugh Jackson is the Cleveland Browns coach. Costner finally fired him.
Kevin Costner finally fired him. He kept him on after the death of his father. And who played catch with him in a cornfield. I don't think I'm mixing up any movies here. Kind of amazing. It was an amazing season of Hard Knocks on HBO, which usually the best Hard Knocks is when you have a coach that is on his way to a firing.
Mm-hmm.
And, Jeff Fisher was one of those people. Unless he was on the Amazon version, I don't remember, but Jeff Fisher's the great kind of like out of touch showboating coach. If you watched Hard Knocks, you know that Hugh Jackson seems very much over his head and also dealing with the deeply depressing deaths of his brother and mother in training camp this year, but also bearded bully Todd Haley, offensive coordinator, run out of many NFL cities, also fired. I can't remember or imagine a situation where a city's major sports coaches were fired back to back like that. And it can only happen certain times of year.
Right.
So I'm wondering, there's got to be a situation where a guy's been canned at the end of an NBA season and a baseball manager has been fired for starting the season like 2-10.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't think of it offhand. There's no good firing database, but Joey, if that was going to happen. That would be incredible,
please,
right?
Please, listeners, get us a firing database.
Dates, money owed. Like, I would love one just for Cleveland. You know what I mean? Like, just how much money did the Browns eat when they had to get rid of Butch Davis? You know what I mean? Like how much money is Dan Gilbert paying a coach he originally hired in 2006?
Mike Brown?
Yeah, Mike Brown. That's like probably $10 more million. Anyway, just incredible. But Joey, if I told you that had happened in an American city, wouldn't you say, yeah, that happened in Cleveland?
Oh, 100%.
Like, I think maybe Terry Francona's going to get fired just because of this. Like, the Indians will get frustrated. Trevor Bauer will have secretly tried to punch him or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, Columbus Crew coach, watch your back.
The Blue Jackets, are they still there?
The Blue Jackets, I think.
I think they moved to Winnipeg or something.
Larry Drew still has not finalized his agreement to actually become the interim coach.
Dude,
he is the acting coach.
I heard Windhorst say something interesting about that on another podcast this week that blew my mind about how big of a villain Dan Gilbert is.
Oh, interesting.
Apparently, right before the season started, Dan Gilbert cut all the assistant coaches' pay.
Holy shit.
And so that's
who had no chance to go anywhere
and
else.
And that's why Jim Boylan left, if you remember right.
Oh, right. And that's probably why Larry Drew's like, fuck you, pay me.
Yes, that is exactly why.
That is... I mean, the whole thing with Cleveland is so ridiculous that, look, I don't think Ty Lue is anything special. I think it was a gift to get fired and get all his money. But what was he supposed to think when they extended Kevin Love and did not get rid of a single player from that old ass 2018?
It's insane. I don't know. Why?
Because even if you didn't do anything else, don't extend Kevin Love.
Right.
Like, let him go or
trade him.
Yeah. But I just have to say, if you're Tyronn Lue and it's 2 weeks into the season and the owner's firing you because you're still trying to play Kevin Love, I would ask him, like, do you know what you just did with Kevin Love 2 months ago?
Do you think Tibbs would take Kevin Love for Jimmy Butler?
You know, he'd be a good fit, actually.
But would Tibbs like him?
It's hard to say because I think he would like that Kevin Love used to do chocolate milk ads. That seems like it would be up Love's alley. He likes the fact that he's like prematurely aged, and Tibbs is like, oh, he's been playing a lot of minutes. I like that. And I wonder if Tibbs is like really into 80s era Beach Boys. I could see him
like rocking Kokomo.
I could see Tibbs having like a treadmill mix that he uses when he's working out, and Kokomo being on it like six different times.
I could see Tibbs definitely would go to a state fair to see a band, I think.
Oh, yeah. That might be the only place he would
go.
But
I think it's more like Bachman Turner Overdrive and less the Beach Boys, though.
Yeah, they're a little soft for Tibbs, don't you think?
Yeah, like Scorpions, I could see him being into.
I could see him going to like a state fair concert that features two of the original members of Kansas.
Yeah. I
think he's like a Wheel in the Sky guy.
Yeah. I was thinking Dust in the Wind. I bet he doesn't like that song, though.
No, it's
although
too
soft. That is what he did to Luol Deng.
Yeah. is Deng playing at all?
I don't know. I haven't.
The Timberwolves are such a bummer, and
I bet Tibbs loves Def Leppard.
Oh, for sure, because he's like, yeah, that's what I like. He lost an arm and he kept drumming. He didn't take any days off. Luol Deng has played 12 minutes this year in one game, and he is 0-for-3 from three-point range.
Well, I guess we should talk about that now, right? That weird thing that happened? Where Jimmy Butler rested himself, but... Also, maybe he was protesting still being there again, but and just for one game.
And then so this is a Shams bomb.
Mm-hmm. Shams.
Shams bomb. Sorry. Yeah. Shams. It rhymes with bombs.
Mm-hmm. Shams bombs.
Yeah. Yeah. So as we always say, when you and I toast together, we say, Woj bombs for my real friends. Shams bombs for my sham friends.
Uh-huh. That is what we say.
We say that every time. But he said that Jimmy Butler was sitting out in the Utah Halloween game, and then very quickly Woj was like, no, Jimmy Butler's just resting because he didn't go to training camp and he's out of shape.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like he smacked it down. I kind of think that might have been some psyops from Woj, like leaking the story through a like Woj loyal source just so he could smack it down. I don't know. Like, how long is Shams going to do this? He's 24, 23?
I mean...
Is this what he wants out of his life?
I think so, yeah.
Man, I don't know. Just your
How many
life's purpose.
Cards do you think Shams has?
I would say it's in the 2,000 to 3,000 range.
They're just hidden all over his body at all times.
Yeah, yeah, like, exactly. Like tiny body, but lots of business cards, like fleshing it out.
He has one of those like you know in action movies where like they have a thing on their wrist where a tiny gun pops out.
Yeah,
in their sleeve, he has one of those just full of business cards.
No, he's like a mid. Who's that X-Men artist from the mid '90s? Rob
Liefeld.
Rob Liefeld. He's like a Rob Liefeld character, but for like the thigh knife, everyone is like a business card.
All those pouches are just full of business cards.
Pouches full of business cards. And Shams is tiny, so they fit. Against his tiny body.
Okay, if Shams was an X-Man, who would it be?
I feel like he'd be more like... He reminds me of...
He's Gambit, dude.
Oh, he is Gambit. Oh, but with business cards.
Yeah.
He is like, All
right, if Woj was an X-Man, who would he be?
Bullshare. Oh,
He's Wolverine.
You think he's Wolverine?
Yeah, he's the coolest one, and he's ageless.
Savage. I was thinking he was maybe like Magneto.
Yeah, and he savages people.
Yeah, you're right. He's Wolverine.
All right, who's Mark Stein?
I would love to see Shaw. Oh, who is Mark Stein? I think he might be like Colossus. No.
He's Jean Grey, I think.
Oh, he's Jean Grey. I was going to say Cyclops, actually.
See, I think he's like Jean Grey because he's like pretty powerful, but also like... was knocked out of the fight pretty easily.
Well, I thought that he was more like Cyclops, where he has a lot of power and he had to learn to control
but he got
it.
Cucked by Wolverine.
He got cucked by he got cucked by Wolverine. Oh my god! And then he was let down by the heartbreak of his own personal Jean Grey, which is Cal State Fullerton Athletics.
I think I could do this all day. Just NBA reporters who they are as X-Men. What if that was just our episode today?
That's the entire episode. We're like, throw everything else out.
All right, who's David Aldridge?
David Aldridge is like, I would say he's like Hank McCoy.
I was going to say he's Bishop.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I was going more cross Rachel. Just because I think he's like, he feels like he's... like very versatile, but also very classy.
I only meant Bishop because he's like, it feels like he's been around forever. Like, yeah, he's like right, a time traveler.
Yeah, like a time traveler. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. what would you, are the starters like power?
They're
pack?
Like X Factor. They're not yeah. even in the X-Men. What was the one with multiple man? They're that.
It's like the secondary X Factor.
Yeah, that's X Force.
Jay's is the multiple. They're the multiple.
No,
man.
Trey Kirby is multiple man. I think.
Okay. He is everywhere.
Yeah. Jay's. I don't want to do that. I don't want to get into X Factor.
Can't.
X Force. But I do want to ask. There's one more person.
Yeah.
Who is Ethan Sherwood Strauss?
Ooh. Knocked out of the game for a while. Young protege. I think he's Kitty Pryde.
Oh, that's pretty good. I was going to say he's Hank McCoy, but.
Oh, interesting. No, because I think he got like knocked out of commission for a while because of an evil person coming through. He's a.
No, but we both. An evil person. Because of Wolverine?
Oh, right. I forgot he was Wolverine.
Woj is Wolverine, dude.
Oh, yeah. I can't even remember who Kitty Pryde. It's like the thing is, the person who knocked Kitty Pryde out of commission is like a very low level, was Harpoon. It's like, probably in hindsight, I'd be like, oh, was that Chris Claremont trying to make like an Inuit? Is that what's going on? But I think he's very like young, verbose, fan favorite, you know, spunky. Has a pet dragon.
Tim Bontemps is Iceman. All right, let's keep going. if you want to know which other NBA big time NBA reporters are X-Men, please ask us on Twitter at. Yeah. Joey Devine or at Sean Keen. I don't want to fuck up the Rumble Rock account with this. Come straight to the source.
By the way, there's not going to be slammed up for a little while because Brett and Randy are very busy right now. Randy is tormented the entire week of Halloween. He's chased around. He's treated. You know, he can't trick-or-treat.
It's only tricks.
Trick-or-treat,
well,
yeah.
He also can't trick-or-treat because he's 48 years old.
Yeah. It's just like a rough time because his life is kind of supernatural as it is, mm-hmm. and it's kind of amateur week. Whereas
Brett has to buy it's mask shopping season for his Eyes Wide Shut orgies.
That's true. And
it's
he's also sitting...
All the masks are... 20% off at all the Halloween stores.
Yeah, and he has a promo code, and it's pretty ridiculous. Also, Brett and Randy, it's Dia de los Muertos, and they're mourning all the 28-year-olds in the NBA this year. Mm-hmm. So.
All right, who's getting fired next, Sean?
Oh, this is a fun game.
Always fun to play, like, who's gonna fucking lose their job?
It's weird to look at the Minnesota Timberwolves and it's like they're actually so dysfunctional. They're not functional enough to fire their coach.
Right.
They're not like no one's in charge enough. And I kind of feel like it's such a like alpha dog fight right now mm-hmm. that Tibbs has a stronger will than the owner. Jimmy Butler might have a stronger will than Tibbs. But there's not enough people that outrank just the like physical presence and relentlessness of Thibodeau. Like he just won't sleep if he thinks he's about to get fired. I mean, Jimmy Butler's still there. I can't believe he's still there.
Mm-hmm.
He lasted through the NFL trade deadline, which I would say was a little bit of a surprise.
I don't know why that owner, he was like, come to me with your trades, and then hasn't made a trade. Like, I get that Tibbs is holding it up.
Right.
But I don't know why the owner is.
Yeah, Also, I'm not sure what people are waiting out exactly, but I mean, I guess it's just Daryl Morey just shoving his chips to the middle of the table.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but if Tibbs gets fired, who's taking over?
Kevin Garnett.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I would pick either a Prince impersonator or Joe Smith.
You can't pick Joe Smith, dude. They'll lose all those draft picks.
Oh, you're right. Okay. Terrell Brandon. Actually, you know who I think would be good at it? Probably Chauncey Billups.
I don't think he wants to coach. He wants to GM, though.
Oh, I think that makes sense. He also wants to continue living in Denver, so that might hurt his chances.
If Tibbs isn't getting fired, who is?
I mean, it's got to be Scott Brooks, right?
Yeah, for sure, dude.
I think we sort of thought that even before the Wizards started off 1-6.
But again, he makes $7 million a year, Sean.
Yeah, that's he got a 5-year deal too. Mm-hmm. So that's for Dan Gilbert, no big deal. For the Washington Wizards, I'm not sure they want to do that, given that Ernie Grunfeld is already making $38 million a year to be the GM. Yeah, $38 million. That's his contract. Also, Scott Brooks has three more years on this deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. So yeah,
they'd have to pay him $21 million.
$21 million. Yeah, they're just gonna drive the plane is gonna just crash. Mm-hmm. They're not gonna pull it up.
He did say Dwight can shoot threes.
Yeah, that's asking to get fired. Right? I think also the Wizards' schedule was kind of punishing at the beginning. They basically like went on a West Coast trip and lost every game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's right. They beat the Blazers and then lost to the Warriors, the Kings, the Clippers, and the Grizzlies. They have only had two home games.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think they're going to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder in D.C. tomorrow night. Anyway, he's probably going to hold on just because he's owed so much money.
But
and
if
also,
they did fire him, who would they replace him with?
I think this squad needs Rick Pitino. That's my dream, I guess.
You know who my dream replacement is? Anthony Scaramucci.
Oh my god. Yeah, he's already in DC, right? Well, I guess he lives in a lobbying position. Oh, Scaramucci just yelling at those guys. Press conferences, just like lying about the stat sheet.
Yeah,
that would be incredible.
Drunkenly calling reporters and telling them that Dwight Howard can suck his own cock.
Yeah, you're like, what? He's like 7 feet tall. That's incredible. And then Mooch is like, no. Dwight Howard didn't miss 5 3-pointers. You missed 5 3-pointers.
He hires Rance Privitz as an assistant just to throw him under the bus a week into the season.
Like, I would, he would fire Rance Privitz mid-game.
Oh, man. All right. Depressing.
Now I'm bummed that Scaramucci isn't coaching the team already.
All right. What about Billy Donovan, Sean? The Thunder seem like they're in trouble.
Yeah, they got to 3-4 tonight, but they definitely could have lost that game to the Charlotte Hornets. I mean, it's weird because it just seems like their roster should be a little better than it is, but also maybe those guys just aren't very good.
Rick Bucher is havoc, by the way. Anyway.
Oh. You're like, what happened to that guy?
Yeah, he seemed really, really cool for like 2 years, and then yeah. all of a sudden...
And they're like, did he move to New Mexico or something? And married? What happened to that guy?
Anyway, what were you saying about Billy Donovan? Sorry.
Oh yeah. I would kind of want to blame Billy Donovan, but also at the same time, I'm just saying, I think a lot of their guys just aren't that good. Like Russ, Paul George, Steven Adams, that fine. But the rest of the team is like, I think Pat Patterson just might not be very good anymore.
Yeah.
And I think Terrence Ferguson might eventually be good, but isn't good right now. And there's just like not a ton of depth on. Well, and Schroeder's just been terrible.
Yeah. Also, they play Raymond Felton a lot.
Yeah, that's weird. That's a weird, but also kind of doesn't seem like Billy Donovan is doing that exactly, because it's, I don't know who the, I don't know. I mean, they're playing like Abrines was really good tonight, by the way. But and Diallo seems like they have something. Anyway, I just think I don't think they're gonna fire him. But if they did, they're definitely not gonna fire him. If they did, I think there's basically two Oklahoma choices, and those choices are Nick Collison,
mm-hmm.
probably still under contract, I'm guessing. And Thor.
I was going to say Kevin Ollie.
Oh.
Because he was their backup, their terrible backup point guard for a really long time, remember? Yeah. They love having guys like that around, like Kevin Ollie, then Derek Fisher.
Yeah.
Then now Raymond Felton, dude.
It's so weird that Kevin Ollie isn't a college coach anymore. I don't really understand how that happened.
I don't follow college basketball, so I don't know. I can't even I know he was like a really good candidate, and then all of a sudden everyone was like, Kevin Ollie sucks.
Yeah, yeah. So he has some kind of he took over a UConn team because Jim Calhoun had been cheating.
Oh, what?
Yeah. And then in his second year, he led like a 10 seed to the NCAA title, which was the Shabazz Jeremy Lamb team, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
He got fired with just cause. I don't know what the scandal is. There's some kind of cheating investigation.
Well, we don't care about college basketball here.
Who cares?
So
let Kevin Ollie coach the team. Let him do it.
What if they just like let like a crew of like frackers do it?
Oh, that'd be great. They're just like, the game starts and Terrence Ferguson misses a shot.
Oh, I know who should coach them.
Oh yeah,
that little girl in the cupcake costume.
Oh, yeah. I was just imagining Terrence Ferguson being hit by a high pressure water hose, but yeah, the cupcake costume would be better. Yeah. I think there's only one other potential fiery.
Who? Oh, no, I have another one. I have a dark horse one.
Okay. Do you want to do yours or should I do mine?
I'll do mine.
Okay.
I think we're going to talk a little bit about this team later, I believe. Well, we might be running out of time, actually. So I think Dave Yeager is still a dark horse for this because...
With the Kings coach?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. I don't think they're this good. And I think there's going to be like 3 weeks of terrible losing, and Vivek and Vlade are now like, this team is good. What's going on?
Oh. Let's talk about the team real quickly here, I think.
Sure.
Okay, because they won five games in a row, and everyone reacted like, when was the last time they won five games in a row? And I was thinking it was probably when they had Ron Artest.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know when the last time they had a five-game winning streak was?
Never.
2014. Not really that long ago. They started the season 5-1. They won five games in a row.
No, I remember this. Yeah.
people at the time were saying, man, when was the last time the Kings won 5 games in a row, which is not a great sign that in 4 years later, people are still like, yeah, there's no way that team could win all their basketball games mm-hmm. for a week. And what happened after that is they went, you know, not terrible. They had a 6-12 stretch. And when they were 11-13, they fired Mike Malone.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tyron Corbin took over. And then George Karl took over. Mm-hmm. And then he fired. So you are right that you could be, Dave Yeager could be 5 weeks away from being fired if history is any guide.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was 5 weeks later that Mike Malone was fired. But yeah, the Kings are just playing super fast. My favorite Kings story of the year is that Terrence Ross of the Magic asked to be subbed out because he was so tired.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but it looks like
here's
yeah,
what
ahead.
They remind me of is they remind me a lot of last year's Orlando Magic team.
That was like drilling lots of threes.
Well, and let me tell you, I'm just going to read you the month, the first few weeks of the season here for Orlando. Heat win, Nets loss, Cavs win, Nets win, Spurs win, Hornets loss, Pelicans win, Grizzlies win. So now they are 2-4. They're 6-3 or 6-2. That's what they start the season as. Then they lose 2 in a row, then win 2 in a row, and then lose 9 games in a row.
They were. It's so weird because I really think that Orlando was the worst team in the league last year. They weren't by record, but aside from Aaron Gordon shooting like 60% from three for a little while, yeah. And I don't really believe in the Kings. I just believe in them to the extent that I thought they would be a 28-win team, mm-hmm. and now I think they could be like a 34-win team. I definitely do not think they're going to the playoffs.
Right. But the reason I say yeah. Yeager here yeah. uh-huh. is I think this start, again, we're right. not dealing with smart guys here.
Well, they don't have their pick, too, so they really want to make the playoffs.
Right. But they're gonna have a bad 2 weeks, and they're going to think that like the coach is underperforming now.
Yeah, it's weird that I feel like this, but I just think that Buddy Hield is playing at the true Buddy Hield level.
You love talking about Buddy Hield on this podcast. Yeah. You are the only NBA podcaster who brings up Buddy Hield
like
twice
every week.
A month.
Yeah. I just feel bad because I was so negative about him. And I just didn't realize he got a little bit above average last year. And for some reason, him becoming less shitty has just blown my mind, I guess. He was plus 40 in the game tonight. But
anyway, who?
Yeah, whatever.
It's obvious who's the replacement for Dave Yeager, right?
Okay.
It's obviously Vivek Ranadive himself.
Oh, incredible.
First owner coach.
Uh-huh.
The parking lot robot will be his assistant. Mm. It'll be great. They'll be playing 4-on-5.
Yeah. And I would say they should consider Lady Bird. Just think about letting Lady Bird coach the team. Sacramento's greatest success.
I'm still mad they didn't send Greta Gerwig to the draft.
Come on.
Do it next year. All right.
Yeah.
Yours?
Luke Walton. I think he's on the hot seat. Lakers are not playing well in the fourth quarter. Because it's Los Angeles, there will always be 100,000 people at least calling for his firing on any given night. Mm-hmm. Could swing public opinion. And, you know, the Lakers are sort of stabilized, but they've got 3 games coming up, and 2 of them are against teams that have beaten the Lakers already this year, and 1 is the Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
And I, I just wonder if they like all Luke has to do is make it to Thanksgiving, but they have a rough schedule for the next week or two.
Do you think LeBron would want Ty Lue again?
It kind of seems like that's the main thing Ty Lue had going for him, was that he was like friends with LeBron. But I don't think Ty Lue would take the job.
I do kind of love the idea. It would be very Lakers, though, to hire Ty Lue and then like claim he's like a Laker legend.
Yeah, he's like, oh, he's a lifetime Laker. Yeah. Look, they won that finals when he got
embarrassed for his entire life.
Oh my god. So I don't really think he's gonna get fired, but he definitely could get fired. So.
All right. You wanted to read an ad here?
Oh yeah. Well. I think we both know who the replacement coach should be.
Oh, for the Lakers?
Yeah.
Do you want a real one? Do you want a real one or a fake one? I could very much see Magic Johnson hiring Michael Cooper.
Oh, boy. Yeah, because he's won at every level except the NBA, right?
Yeah.
He's a WNBA champion. I think it should be Kobe Bryant.
Jesus fucking
Christ. And everyone would be so uncomfortable, and Kobe would just be like standing and underbiting at people and
writing poetry mid-game. God, that would be a nightmare. Oh my God. That's the only thing that's worse than Derrick Rose scoring 50 points in a game. Oh my God. No! No, Sean, no!
Okay, so we do have an ad read. It's for a new film. It's called All the Not My President's Men. Plot of this. It's a movie starring the Krasenstein brothers. Here's the plot. The whole staff of the Hill Reporter is hot on the trail of a story. President Chump has been lying to the American people. The Krasenstein brothers are there to investigate every gym, GNC supplement store, Pilates studio, and waxing salon in their efforts to find the truth. They put the resist in resistance training. It all culminates in a secret meeting with their source, Eric Jr., in the parking garage of a Crunch Fitness, who threatens to blow the lid off all the Trump administration's misdeeds, as well as Markel Fultz's shooting exercises. Hey, police, time to make a totally normal collar on these baddies. If you order this direct-to-DVD movie now, you'll also get Welcome to the Gun Control Show, which features the Krasenstein brothers' instructional weightlifting video. When the front family gets fitted for prison clothes, you'll be taking off your shirt off everywhere you go. All My Not the President's Men, directed by Eric Garland. So check that out just in time for the midterms. What's coming out?
A movie starring the Krasensteins, I mean about the Krasensteins, is the only movie in history where the actors are in worse shape than the... than the regular people.
Yeah, it's true. All those guys. Man, talking about the blue wave, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, there's one more thing I want to talk to you about.
Oh, yeah.
It was Halloween last night.
Oh, yeah, let's do it, yeah.
And I want to tell you some NBA. What I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you an NBA player and then their costume. And then you're going to tell me if you think better about them or worse.
Okay.
Your first is LeBron James. When is Jason Voorhees?
When is Jason?
Yeah. There's a reason for this, and you're gonna be so mad when I tell you.
I mean, just was there a point when Jason's about to like kill a kid at Crystal Lake, and he says, "Sheesh."
2 weeks ago, LeBron James announced he was producing a new Friday the 13th movie.
Oh, come on. by the way, my friend's father wrote the original Friday the 13th movie.
Mm-hmm.
And is like stunned all the time at its lasting impact, because it was just like a trash garbage thing. Anyway, he also has a great baseball podcast called Productive Outs. So,
okay, tell me about how you feel about LeBron playing Jason in what is essentially branded content.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it. Like, also, here's the thing: LeBron used to have a Halloween party that was so extreme that Kevin Love felt the need to fly in. You know, like
it was Kyle Korver.
Oh, Kyle Korver, yeah. Flew in a Hollywood expert to get his costumes. Uh-huh. Didn't he hire?
He hired little people.
Little people? Jesus. Yeah. Not cool, Kyle Korver, anyway. I mean, look, a job is a job.
I mean, I'm sure those little people went to Kyle Korver's mega church, too. So
Yeah. And they were, like, well compensated for the efforts. But did LeBron just not have a Halloween party this year?
I'm guessing not.
Yeah, because he would have been like, all right, everybody, I really want your costumes. And then, like, immediately Kuzma and Lonzo had diss tracks making fun of his party. And he's like, I hate these millennials. Sheesh.
All right. Klay Thompson went as Jackie Moon from the not super popular but weirdly lasting basketball comedy Semi-Pro starring Will Ferrell.
You know, it almost felt like he wasn't even in costume, because you're like, oh yeah, Klay Thompson is an ABA player, he just happens to be among us in the NBA, but right, doesn't he have like the heart of a Virginia Squire when you think about it? he's like Marvin Goodnews Barnes, you know what I mean, like oblivious. Might think that going into a new time zone is time traveling, but like not addicted to cocaine or, you know. I love it. He also, like, Klay's look this year is better than he's ever looked. Like, the just like a full beard, growing his hair out, and the fact that he had to put on a headband because of his bleeding head while he was setting the single game 3-point shooting record is like, It looked so good. Like, the whole package was very goofy but endearing. I love it. Also kind of funny. Like, also captures the childlike nature of Klay Thompson that he would dress as a basketball player.
That was what I was going to bring. That's why I brought it up. Is, yeah. To me, it is extremely on brand because it says two things. I love basketball and I love weed, and that's it about me. That is my personality. All right. Next, DeAndre Ayton went as Pennywise from the new It movie.
Okay. Here's the thing. I know it's Halloween. I know he's a young man. Ayton should not be playing any undead and immortal characters because he has old man face. He has Odin face. You know what I mean? Like, it's not as bad in the face, but the forehead is so wrinkled and old looking that I just don't think you want to remind people of that. Also, the Phoenix Suns are full of kids, and that's Pennywise's targets.
I don't believe anyone over the age of 15 should go as a scary Halloween costume. That's just my general opinion. And I think less of you if you do.
Yeah, well, also when you're 7 feet tall, you gotta ramp it up. you're not scary enough towering over the rest of us.
All right, JaVale McGee went as the original Dr. Seuss Grinch.
Oh. See, I like it because it feels like the reverse of LeBron's synergistic costume. Mm-hmm.
It's like he's making a statement about that shitty new Grinch.
That shitty new Grinch who's like, yeah, you know what America needs? A sassier Grinch.
Yeah. Like, what if the Grinch was like a sassy bitch?
Yeah, he's like, he was just like owning everybody. The Grinch is just like, Christmas, you're canceled. JaVale is also playing great.
Sure,
recently.
I don't care about that though. We're talking about Halloween,
you're
Sean.
Right, saying he definitely trick or treated all over DeAndre Jordan on Halloween.
Robin Lopez when it's Elliot from E.T. full whip bike and basket.
So funny and such a weird, like, it's a very funny costume, and I love that he rode his bike onto the court and apparently almost, who did he almost crash into? Oh, that Gary Harris. Gary Harris. He almost hit with his bike. It was a very endearing costume. Also, I respect that it's a pretty easy costume. You know what I mean?
The like, one thing I will say about it, though, not sick and twisted enough.
Oh, no, it's incredibly wholesome. But also, I kind of like that he just sort of, like, he got the bike and the ET and otherwise was like, I'm going to put on a hoodie.
But let's be honest, Sean. A hoodie, I mean, sorry, a bike for a 7-footer is expensive, I bet.
Yeah, that's true. Remember when Sean Bradley's bike got stolen and it ruined his life? Well, the other thing I thought of when he had ET was, you know how when, like, things hurt, when ET gets drunk and Elliot gets drunk?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's the case with the Lopez twins,
too. Oh, for sure, dude.
Yeah.
Except neither of them have ever been drunk.
No. It's just like sugar highs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Robin's just like, why am I so excited right now? And then you cut to Brooke.
Brooke just, is just like, how?
Giant.
Give me another pixie stick.
A giant pixie stick. I was like, why are my hands shaking? It's like I gotta drink a Jolt Cola to balance things out.
All right, you're gonna love this one. James Harden went as Tom Hardy's Bane.
Oh, great job.
Let me send you what this looks like in the chat right now.
Okay. Oh, hell yes. Here's the thing, like, without the mask, isn't this kind of something you could see James Harden just wearing?
Yes.
Because
it's like futuristic under something old.
And the quote, no one cared who I was till I put on the mask. And in a way, it's like almost a reference to his own beard.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, James Harden doesn't care. Kind of a nihilist. Like he could see him wanting to watch the world burn. And yeah. Also, the League of Shadows put out a contract on Moses Malone Jr.
That's what I was hoping you'd bring up.
All right. In your face, Moses Malone Jr., he's going to murder us.
All right, and finally, if you've got to have a Bane, if there's going to be a Bane, you also need a Batman. Check the chat.
Oh, hell yes. I'm so excited about this. He looks so happy.
Lonzo Ball went as a full-on Batman in a full Batman costume. He is so skinny; it looks real shitty, which makes it better.
It's way better. Okay, so this is like, I thought Victor Oladipo's Black Panther costume was
terrible,
pretty bad.
It was horrible.
Like, it was like ill-fitting, and also like how much is he going to be going back to that well? You know what I mean? Like, he already did it at the dunk contest. And again, much like Black Panther himself, loses a lot in the first round of battles. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But Lonzo looks so happy.
He was doing the Batman voice. There's a clip of him in full Batman voice, going up to Brandon Ingram and going, "Mr. Ingram, Mr. Ingram, try not to get any fouls," I think is what he says.
That's so good. Also, I like to imagine LeVar as Alfred, just being like, Mr. Lonzo, I got to tell you about, well, actually, he'd be like Lucius Fox, because he makes him the gear, right?
Well, no, I mean, look, I do think it is a little telling that he wanted to be someone with a dead dad.
Oh, whoa! I think we got to end on that, Joey. My dream. I'm just alone by myself.
You know what I'll say? I think it's weird no NBA player went as Thanos this year. If you told me that I had to bet on an NBA player doing one Halloween costume, it would have been Thanos.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. That is weird. You know, there even is a G League player whose name is almost Thanos.
What if Thonmaker's name was Thanos Maker?
Oh, that would be incredible.
It'd be so tight.
And then he's talking to Giannis and he's like, "Oh, I got the smoothie gem from Giannis." And then he got like the manga jam, the gem from Brooke Lopez. And then Deli got him the Vegemite gem. All right, I'm gonna stop doing that.
All right, Sean, what do you want to plug?
I'm gonna be at the Punchline in San Francisco right before Christmas with Samuel Bade. We're co-headlining 5 shows, 3 nights, December 20th through the 22nd. You can get your tickets at LiveNation.com.
Do you want to plug West Coast Bias as well?
Neither
of you are doing a very good job plugging that show.
Yeah, well, I work Wednesday nights, and they always start the stream before I'm actually able to participate. But West Coast Bias, a Twitch stream, twitch.tv/BigCorbs with Corbett Smith, hosted the Take It or Break It podcast with other guests. The concept of the show is it's just a basketball recap for the West Coast teams, which we have defined as the Pacific Division plus Portland minus Phoenix. So you need to actually border the Pacific Ocean. And
that
you know,
is
when
very
Seattle
weird.
Gets, it's a very strange. Anyway, that is the concept. So it's your source. Apparently, Corbin's going to have a West Coast standings board next week. Very excited for that. But it was a little slower because of Halloween. But the first one was very vibrant. Thanks to all the Roundball Rocketeers who showed up in the chat.
Roundball, yeah. What the fuckers, mount up.
I have a thing. I'll probably put out the link. I did a thing about TV shows going on without their lead stars, for just because House of Cards and The Conners were coming out, and there were some like weird and interesting ones that I found in the research of it. Just you know the main thing that you see, female actresses demanding equal pay and then getting blackballed from the industry.
Very tight.
Common thread.
As for me, I have a real thing to plug, actually. I helped write some videos for Public Bank LA. You can find those on Twitter at Public Bank LA. They star David Bory and Josh Androsky and Hayes Davenport and her name is so hard to say. Deborah DiGiovanni, right? Was that right?
Funny. Deborah DiGiovanni.
So funny. Yeah.
Oh, that one of the nation of Canada, full of great comedians. I don't think that anybody right now makes me laugh more than Deborah DiGiovanni.
Yeah, she's so funny.
Goddamn gem.
And then, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz. Ooh. We're on 5/26/15. I tweeted, "Think I broke my knee trying to get on my motorcycle. Tried to whip my leg over real quick and kneed the luggage rack so hard I threw up." Trust the process.
Trust the process.
Shut it down. Let's never talk about Derrick Rose ever again.
Previously on X-Men. We'll be right back.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.